You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
In BC, Bill 42 has been controversial since its introduction last May. It places limits on the amount of public interest advertising in BC for 3 months prior to the provincial election this May. That means that groups like unions or environmental groups cannot buy TV commercials or even hand out flyers. On March 27th, the BC Supreme Court ruled this bill unconstitutional. Rob Holmes is president of the BC Civil Liberties Association. He's joined me by phone. Good morning, Rob, and welcome to Red Eye.
Good morning to you as well. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Can you give us a little background first to the bill?
All right. Well, the bill provides for two different stages. One is the 28 days that leads into the election day, and that's called the campaign period. And then the provincial government decided in its wisdom that it wanted to extend the period of restrictions on spending by an additional 60 days before that. So 60 plus 28 is 88 days in total. And for political parties, it allowed $1.1 million in the pre-campaign period and $4.4 million in the campaign period. Plus, candidates could spend $70,000 before and $70,000 during. But for third parties, and they're not really parties at all, they're just you, me, a company, a business, a union, or whatever, they required that if you want to engage in anything that spends dime one on political advertising, saying you think one way or another on an issue, that you had to register. That's the first point. And if you don't register, you're susceptible to being fined or thrown in prison. And on top of that, they limited the amount that you could spend in that whole 88-day period to $3,000 if you were going just on a riding, or $150,000 across the province. And those, they conceded, were really below what would be necessary to put on anything more than what the judge came to call in the case a modest informational campaign, because, as you may appreciate, with a daily paper in Vancouver, it's $22,000 just to get one, either two-thirds of a page or full-page ad to try and get some attention to an issue. So if you did six of those with the additional costs of running any kind of an advertising program, you'd be done.
And that went to court. How did that unfold in the court?
The BCTF and the Nurses Union and part of QP, they took the matter to court, and they argued, focusing on the pre-campaign period, that that was unconstitutional because it limited people's rights of free speech and freedom of discussion and expression, and also, more importantly, of course, the right of the public to hear what other people's ideas are so that politicians don't drive the whole of the agenda. And it became especially important when you focused on what the government had done in terms of timing here, because they had put in place these restrictions during a time when there wasn't really an election going on, but there was the legislature sitting, so there's question period every day. There was a throne speech at the beginning. There was a budget. There were two dozen bills that were presented in the legislature, some controversial, some not. But people were really severely hampered in what they could say or do with respect to what was going on in the legislature. And part of the reason for that is because if you did have a desire to influence the political process and the debate that went on, you had to look at the fact that you were limited by this $150,000 cap for the whole of the 88 days leading up to Election Day. And part of the evidence that was put before the judge was that if you really want to have any real impact, you would focus on the last couple or 3 weeks of the election campaign period, in other words, the 3 weeks leading up to voting day. And so when you look at it, effectively the government was shutting everybody up for the time that we had this spring session of the legislature so that nobody could put anything out, because they were obviously saving their money for the election period.
And the judge's decision?
The judge looked at it and he decided that because of the evidence that showed that the main impact was during the actual election campaign period for advertising, that you couldn't say that in this pre-campaign period that there would be something that would lead to any unfairness in the election by the common phrase that Wally Opel and others used when they were talking about it in the legislature was avoiding American-style elections and the prospect of people buying elections by use of money. That is a suspect proposition in and of itself, because obviously if one side decides that they want to raise money and put out ads, then the other side of the issue can very well do the same thing, and you end up with a fuller debate rather than a weak one. But the judge looked at it, and he decided that the government simply hadn't made out a case for putting restrictions in place on third-party advertising in the period before this 28-day election campaign period. And he then looked at the fact that the case had only presented to him a challenge to the specific sections of the Election Act that focused on third-party advertising. And he said that there was some unfairness in limiting political parties and candidates for office, even though they had much higher limits than third parties would have. And he basically invited the government to change that part of the law. He couldn't do it himself because it wasn't specifically pleaded before him. But instead of doing anything about it, the government adjourned the legislature and then sought to have the Court of Appeal put in place a stay of the judge's ruling so it wouldn't have any effect in the period between when it came down on March 27 and April 14, when the election actually gets called. And that was heard in court before a Court of Appeal judge on Friday. And yesterday afternoon, around 3 or 3:30, he ruled that the government hadn't made out a case for a stay. He said it was not in the interests of justice to basically put a stop to what the trial judge had said, particularly given that unless and until you get a full appeal hearing, one has to presume the trial judge got it right, and his decision was that the law was unconstitutional, and that to keep restrictions in place with respect to an unconstitutional limit on freedom of expression would be completely contrary to everything that the Charter of Rights stands for.
So the government now has had two solid defeats on that particular section of the Act. Do they have another option of appealing beyond this in any way that would really affect this particular election?
No, they don't. They're stuck. The only thing they could do is if they wanted to call the legislature back next week and to put in place an amendment to the Election Act that would do what the trial judge suggested they should do, which is to eliminate the restrictions on political parties and candidates. But that's sort of a wasting proposition of an idea, because the period between now and April 14th is so short that from a practical perspective, they might as well keep their powder dry and focus their efforts on the election campaign. And you know, the funny thing is that based on all of the evidence that the judge heard at trial, one of the things that he commented was that even if somebody did go overboard and spend an awful lot of money in the pre-campaign period on advertising a particular point of view, the fact that during that 28-day period, non-parties are limited to this $150,000 cap, whereas political parties, if you just do the arithmetic, they can do, say you're the Liberal Party, $4.4 million is the central party, plus 70,000 times 85 ridings. That's about a $10 million, $11 million program. And when you look historically, that's what the Liberal Party spent in the last election. And so, in essence, what they've done is they've tied the hands of other interest groups during the election period and have given themselves full rein to spend the kind of money that traditionally they have. And, of course, on top of it, they, because they are in government, get to marshal all of these lovely feel-good ads that we see that the government puts out at public expense, telling us what a great place BC is to live in and making us all feel warm and fuzzy about the people who are in power.
So this is really an objective to restrict spending of organizations like the BC Teachers Federation or BC Federation of Labor advertising on their particular issues.
Well, I think anyone outside of the courthouse would look at that and say that that must have been part of what the agenda was for the government here. It was part of what was alleged in the press and by many people back when they introduced the bill last May. People were suspicious as well about the fact that they have been in power for 7 or 8 years and that they waited until the last minute before the election to put this in place, presumably in hopes the court system wouldn't be able to come back with an answer on its constitutionality before the election was over, and they got away with it. But to focus on the first part again, the fact is that the effect clearly is one of tamping down what unions and other organizations who are critical of this government can put out as advertisements during the period that the government regards as most critical. And the small point that one can add on that is that the government put forward, though, in the court case, patriotic-sounding reasons for wanting to put restrictions in place, such as wanting the election process to be fair and not allowing any one group to hijack the election by spending tons more money than anyone else could and dominating the issue. Now, there was no track record for that happening in B.C., but no matter what the government is, we've had a history of getting people's viewpoints out there in a fair manner and not having any problems like that. But they used that as the excuse, and they also objected when the unions brought a motion before the court hearing in November. They sought to have Martin Brown, the Premier's executive assistant, cross-examined on just what the reasons were, including from a political standpoint. But there is, as you'll appreciate, a dividing line between politics and the courts. The judge ruled that given that the law had passed the legislature and given that the reasons for the law and its purposes were set out by the Attorney General, that the courts weren't going to get into political stuff like that. But, of course, I think the public is smart enough to be able to draw its own conclusions as to what it was that the government's motivation was. And also, just from a sort of academic social science perspective, there have been any number of articles that have been written and studies done with respect to the effect that these laws concerning restrictions on election spending by parties and non-parties come out to. And the consensus that has been reached amongst social scientists is that they are basically something that encourages the return of incumbents on election day, because incumbents, of course, are in the news for all the lead-up since the last election to this new one. They have the political capital, not in the money sense, but in the name recognition sense, that allows them to go into an election in a stronger position than their opponents. And so by limiting what people who are on the other side of the equation can do in putting out information, the effect is not surprising. It's one that enhances the ability of incumbents to retain power.
Well, thank you very much for going through this with us. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Rob Holmes. He is president of the BC Civil Liberties Association. If you'd like more information on Bill 42, you can go to justshutupbc.com.